Of Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Looking at another portrait this evening from Daniel. If you're familiar with who Daniel was and his situation, he was a young man, Jewish man, who had been taken in the captivity out of Israel, and he's taken to Babylon. He now finds himself in a different country, in a pagan country. A lot of things in his life have changed. We're going to talk tonight about solidifying our decision to obey God. I trust that as Christians and as believers that we have decided for our life that we're going to live for the Lord. All right, we're going to obey God. We're going to obey the Bible. We're going to do what's right. Tonight I want to talk about really solidifying that decision. So a portrait of determination. A portrait of determination this evening. We're just going to read verse 8. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, where it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Let's start with prayer. Lord, we're thankful for the word of God that we have tonight, and we pray that you would bless our time this evening as we study your word. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When we got a basketball hoop several years ago, I don't know how long ago we got it, we were looking at different basketball hoops, and we decided to get a movable one. So we got one of those that has like the big plastic base that you fill with like sand or water. So we filled it with water to keep it from tipping over. But we decided to get one that we could move if we wanted to. We decided not to get one of those. It was just a pole that you put in the ground and you cement it in, right? Because when you use cement on something, it's kind of it's more of a big decision, right? Because it's a pretty final decision, right? When you decide to put something in concrete, it's kind of a final decision. I mean, I know you can, you know, move it, but it's a lot of work, right? You got to like defeat the concrete. You have to like break it all apart to move it. So anytime you think about saying, all right, I'm going to put this in place, and I'm going to put concrete around it. I'm going to fix this in cement. You're really making a kind of a final decision about all of that because you've decided this is where it's going to go, and also this is where it is going to remain because all of a sudden you've put a lot of work into having to move it if you ever change your mind, right? So before you pour concrete, you better make sure that's where it goes, right, Levi, that this is, you have it in the right spot, and you're going to keep it there. Right, so here's Daniel, right? Daniel's making this decision, and I like to think about him putting this decision in concrete. He's saying, I've made a decision, and I've determined that this is the decision that I'm going to maintain, right? He made a decision, and he said, this is what the decision is going to be. His determination, the Bible puts it this way, that he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. He determined he was not going to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And this was the right decision for Daniel to make. So he was in this foreign country. They're trying to get him to eat this meat that would have been against the Jewish dietary restrictions and their laws. So he decides for himself that he is not going to do something that would cause him to break the Jewish laws. So he says, I'm not going to do it. He makes a decision that he is going to obey God. Obeying God is always the right decision, right? It's always the decision that we need to make. It's cut and dry, right? Obeying God is always the right decision. But it's not always the easy decision. One, it's not always easy to make a decision that we're going to obey God, right? Depending on the situation, it can be a difficult decision to make that we're going to obey God. Sometimes the difficulty arises in maintaining that decision because you make it at the beginning and then, you know, as time goes by, it's work to also be committed to that decision, to continue to like reaffirm it and continue to push back against the opposition to that decision. I don't know how easy this decision was for Daniel, but it was a decision where he faced some pushback against it. He faced some opposition to it, which is why it says that he purposed in his heart. This is why he needed determination for this decision. And we have to understand that even as we've made decisions that we're going to obey God and do what's right, as Christians, that decision takes determination. We're going to have to determine to like continue to make that decision and maintain that decision. And if we're going to choose to do what's right and choose to continue to do what's right, what has to undergird all of that is this determination, this concrete part of us, that this is who we are. We are people that obey God. We're people that follow the word of God and that we do what's right. And that is a concrete decision that we have made. We've made it and we've surrounded it with cement, saying this decision doesn't change, it doesn't move. This is what we're going to do. And what I want to see tonight is three reasons why we need determination. Why obeying God takes determination, why it took determination in Daniel's life, and why it'll take determination in our life. Here's the first reason. We need determination because passivity doesn't always work. Being passive about obeying God doesn't always work. So in the end of verse 8, right, when he decides this, he makes this decision. In the end of verse 8, therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He had to go to the authorities in his life and talk to them and say, listen, here's my issue. I don't want to defile myself with a portion of the king's meat. Passivity doesn't always work. Do you ever get what's called decision fatigue? Where you're like, I'm just tired of making choices. I'm tired of deciding. I want someone else to make all the decisions for me for just one day. I've always thought I would like to wear the same thing all the time. Just have like one outfit, right? So when I get out of bed, I don't even have to think about it. I just get like, I have multiples of the same pair of pants. Not that I have one outfit, right? But I have multiples of the same outfit where I just don't have to think. I go, these are the pants I wear. And this is the shirt that goes with them. Don't have to think about it, right? Kind of eliminating one decision out of my day. But sometimes we get to the point where like, I'm just tired of making a decision, right? Sometimes doing right is just that we don't decide to do wrong, where the path is right in front of us. Like the path is laid out before us of doing what is right. It's right there in front of us. We just got to not go off the path, right? We just have to kind of just walk straight ahead and we will be doing what is right. Sometimes that is the way life is. Other times, doing right means deciding that we're not going to walk the path that's right in front of us. We're not going to take the easy road that's staring us right in the face. It's us saying, that's not the right way, so I'm going to have to decide to not do that. This was the case for Daniel. If he had not made a decision and just been passive about all of this, he would have ended up eating the portion of the king's meat, because that's what was laid out before him. That was what was prescribed by the authorities, is here's the diet that you're going to have. This is what you're going to eat. And if he had just been passive about the whole thing and not made a decision, which we understand is making a decision, but if he had not made a decision, he would have ended up disobeying God and not doing what was right. If he didn't purpose in his heart, he could very well have just taken the path of least resistance, been passive about the whole thing, and it would have led to disobedience. Obedience takes determination because the right choice sometimes requires a tough choice. Often it's a tough choice that we're also going to need to continue to hold to, because maybe there's the challenge at the beginning, but very likely there will be more challenges down the road. If you were to say, well, listen, I'm not going to eat any more sugar, right? I'm going to eat healthy, no more sugar, right? Good decision, right? A healthy decision to make. You know, I'm no more sugar. Wouldn't it be nice if we only had to decide that once, right? If we only had to make that one choice and then it was done for the rest of our life. But the problem with us at making these sort of healthy decisions is you have to say no to sugar once and then like 20 more times throughout the day. And by the end, you're like, I'm tired of saying no to sugar. I just want to say yes to all the sugar, right? And sometimes that's what we do. We say no 19 times, and on the 20th time, it's all the sugar, right? Because it's hard. Like, we can make that first decision and go, I'm saying no and make the right choice. But then it's like, boy, we have to constantly be making that decision. It's like over and over. And that takes determination to not just make it, but to not be passive about making it the rest of the time. We need determination because being passive isn't going to work. It's not going to work in obeying God. Life is not going to make the decisions for us. It's not going to make the right choices for us. We can't just be passive about it. So Daniel says, I can't be passive. He says, I purposed in my heart, I'm not going to defile myself. He goes to the prince of the eunuchs and requests a different diet. And that brings us to the second reason we need determination. And that's because peer pressure isn't always positive. Peer pressure isn't always positive. Look in verse 10. So the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. There were other kids there with Daniel that were going along with the king's diet. And they were just eating the king's meat. And there was peer pressure in the sense of there were others there that were doing the wrong thing, that had taken the path of least resistance and were going along with whatever the king said. Now, peer pressure, positive peer pressure, can be a powerful thing. It can be a really good thing in our lives, a helpful thing to make things easier for us. It can allow us to just kind of be a follower and not have to like lead and be like going against the tide. So it can be nice that way. It's also a good thing because it helps people that are being very passive to make the right choice, because all of a sudden it puts them in the stream of going the right way. And if they're just being passive, yeah, maybe they're not standing up and like being determined, but at least it's driving them in the right direction. But peer pressure, we know, isn't always positive. I think I've used this illustration before, but I kind of like it. It's back in 2005 in Turkey, there was a herd of sheep. And one of these sheep decided he was going to run and jump off a cliff. And the whole herd of 1,500 sheep followed. And they all, one after another, ran and jumped off this cliff. The first 400 died. The rest survived because they landed on the pile. We go, what were they thinking? You know what they were thinking? I go where they go, right? They run, I run. They jump, I jump. And one after another, like this herd of sheep, just all followed the one right off the cliff. And we face peer pressure, right, in this world. And I know there's probably a lot of you go to your secular job and you're surrounded by negative peer pressure. And it may not be that they're there saying, hey, we curse, you know, you swear like we swear, and trying to get you to do that. And maybe they're not trying, you know, to invite you out for beer on a Friday night. But there is the pressure of just being around them and hearing them take the Lord's name in vain all the time, and hearing them talk about how they party on the weekends, and hear them talk about things that a Christian shouldn't be talking about. And it's in that constant environment that even if they're not trying to actively get you to participate, there's just the constant pressure of, this is what everybody else is doing. This is what the whole group is doing. And sometimes it's probably nice to have like a Catholic or a Mormon, so you're not the only religious person. You're not the only one who's different. You've at least got someone else who, they don't believe what we believe, but at least you're not the only one who's religious in that crowd. But it can be that whole like peer pressure that's around us, which is why we need a solid, concrete determination. Because we've got like a whole world that's trying to pull our decision in the wrong direction and trying to just drag us along where they're going. Anytime we go on the internet, there is negative peer pressure there where we see how the world is living. You turn on the TV, there's a lot of negative peer pressure in all of that. Living for the Lord needs determination on our part, because it will many times mean that we have to go against the crowd. We have to go upstream where everybody else seems to be going in the wrong direction. And if we're not determined, we'll find ourselves getting pulled along with them. We have to take a decision that says, I'm going to do what's right and put it in concrete and say, it doesn't matter how much other people are doing the wrong thing. I have cemented this decision, and it's going to stand up to the waves and the wind of everyone else around me. We need determination, because the peer pressure that's around us, it's not always positive. Many times we find that it's pulling us in the wrong direction. But there's a third reason. We're back in Daniel chapter 2, and it's because pleasure isn't always right. We need determination because what's pleasing to us, what's enjoyable to our flesh, isn't right. Verse 11, then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse or vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Boy, I don't know if I could have done that. I don't know if I could have done what Daniel did. Here he is in the cafeteria at lunchtime, and he's sitting there with his plate of vegetables before him, watching as everybody around him eats steak. And he has to watch them and smell it as they cut into a juicy steak, and they're commenting on how perfectly the chef grilled it today and how delicious it is. And they're like, look, you don't even have to cut it with a knife. You can just cut it with a fork, and it's so easy to chew. And oh, it's seasoned so perfectly. And he's sitting there crunching his way through vegetables. I don't know. That had to have been tough for him to see everybody else enjoying things that were much more delicious than what he ate. I don't know if Daniel chose to eat vegetables and also really enjoyed them, right? Maybe he was a vegan, maybe a vegetarian. He was like, I really love vegetables. Maybe, right? Or maybe it was, I don't enjoy them better than meat, but this is what's right. And him having to go against what was pleasing to him and what was more pleasurable and more enjoyable, because that path, the path of what was more pleasing to his flesh, was not the right path. And so he had to choose to say no to his flesh and say yes to what God had for him. And that's not always easy. This morning, I went downstairs between Sunday morning and Sunday school, and I went to that table, you know, where all the food is. And Joe Bergen was there, and I told Joe Bergen, I said, I'm just going to have one donut hole. And then I ate like five. My intention was to only have one. I was going to be good, you know? But then, like, they're so good, and they go down so easy. And, like, it was just enjoyable. And it was a much easier path to do what I enjoyed than to say no to that. But in the Christian life, we have a flesh that we still struggle with that enjoys the wrong things. And we have to understand that we're going to have to say no to that part of us. And our flesh doesn't like that. Our flesh is like a little toddler that hates to hear no. And it kicks and screams and puts up a fuss when we tell it no. And it's like, I want to do that. And we're going to have to tell our flesh no over and over and over again. But what is enjoyable and pleasing to our flesh is not always right. And there are times where we'll have to do what is not enjoyable and what is not pleasing to our flesh. We have to do right no matter what our flesh feels about it. And this is something God's been teaching me lately, that I can't take my own feelings into account when I'm deciding what I should do, right? Whether something's right or not. I can't take into account whether whether it's going to make me feel uncomfortable or awkward, or if I just kind of don't want to do it, right? I have to be able to take all of those and put them to the side and say, that doesn't matter. I just have to plow ahead and do what's right. No matter how I don't want to do it, or whether I feel like it's awkward or makes me uncomfortable or whatever, if I know what's right to do, I can't let those feelings then make me like not do it, or just like, you know how we do, we put it off. And we know kind of back in the back of our mind that we'll probably never do it, but we don't tell ourselves that. We're like, I'm going to do it later, right? And we do that sort of thing, right? But we have to be able to say, put off how we feel about it if we know it's right. If it's right, it doesn't matter what our flesh feels about it. And I believe that feelings will follow action. If we do what's right, God will bring joy and peace. And that he will fill our hearts with that reward for doing what is right. And then we'll feel the way we want to feel, but it comes after we obey. It comes after that action. We can't let our actions be dictated by our feelings. Then whether we feel like doing something, then we'll do it, right? Or if we feel like it's the right thing, then we'll do it. It has to be we do what's right according to the Word of God, no matter how we might feel about it. We can't let our flesh force us in the wrong direction. But that's going to take some determination on our part, that we've made a concrete decision that we will do what's right, that we are going to obey the Word of God. Because what's pleasing to us and what's pleasurable and enjoyable to our flesh is not going to be the right decision. We need determination, because the right choice doesn't always seem like the pleasant one. So here's Daniel, portrait of determination. And he needed to make this decision where he purposed in his heart, decided to do what was right, despite knowing that it might be an unpopular decision, knowing that he was going to have to speak up and say something, knowing that maybe everybody else was doing the opposite. And he determined in his heart, purposed in his heart, that he was going to do what's right. We need to make that same decision, that we're just going to do what's right. Because passivity doesn't always work, peer pressure is not going to always be positive, and the pleasurable decision isn't always the right one. And we found, I think, like anything in life, that doing right is just going to take determination. It's not always going to be like the easy thing where we can just skip through life and find ourselves always doing right. It's going to have to be determination on our part. I want to close with this passage, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. This is the example of Jesus Christ and his determination to do what was right. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. And it says, he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Look what he says next. Look at this determination. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That was the decision that Jesus Christ made. And we know, as the Son of God, this was a concrete decision. He was going to do the will of God. It was a settled decision. And he made it concrete. And there were fleshly reasons and human reasons to not want to go through this decision. But it was the determination of Jesus Christ that he was going to do the will of God. We see this all through the life of Jesus Christ, that he determined to obey his Father. This needs to be our determination, our concrete decision, that we're going to do God's will, not ours. No matter if it's easy or not, no matter if we want to or not, no matter if others are doing it or not, we've determined we are going to do what God wants us to do. And I know we've made this decision. I know it's like the Christian thing, right? Because we'd all say, we know this is right to do what God wants us to do, but how determined really are we to do what's right? How concrete is that decision in our life? Is it a decision that we mentally assent to and then we say, yes, that's the right decision, but in reality, it's a pretty flexible decision. And there are times where we've allowed ourselves to be moved from that decision by other factors in life and other pressures that come, whether it's from outside or within us or whatever. But even though we know that's the right decision, yet in reality, it's become pretty flexible and it's not as solid as it should be. What does it take to turn us aside from doing what's right? What does it take to, how easy is it for the world or our flesh to sway our mind and to sway our heart away from what we know we should do? Let's reinforce that decision tonight. Let's decide, and we can make this decision all throughout our life, that we're going to settle this, that we're going to be people that do what's right. Let's take this decision and put it in concrete and pour cement all over this thing, and make it really difficult for us to change, and just say, Lord, by your grace, this is who I'm going to be. By your grace, I'm going to make tough choices. I'm not going to be passive about this. I'm not going to let negative peer pressure pull me away from this. I'm going to determine that no matter what my flesh might want, I am going to do what's right. Let's make that decision, but more than that, let's purpose in our heart. Let's be people that are determined, solidified, fixed, that we will do what's right. Let's close with prayer. Lord, I'm thankful for this example from Daniel's life, of his determination. Lord, I'm thankful for the faithfulness that he had to you. And Lord, may we be faithful to you. Lord, it's not always easy to do what's right. There are many times that our flesh really fights us on doing the right thing. Lord, help us to determine that we are just going to be people that obey you and do what's right. Lord, give us the boldness that we need. Give us the wisdom to see the snares that Satan places in front of us. Give us the boldness to make the right choice, even in front of crowds that are not doing what's right. But Lord, help us to be determined. And Lord, we know that we need your strength, we need your grace, we need your wisdom. So we ask that you would be all of that to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.